Mitiamo neye agua da medinde ojirapo kwesi ra nempata akan. That means greetings to all Afurakani, Afurakani people, the Africans, black people. Today is Eguada Marketplace Day. My name is Ojirapo Kwesi Ra Nehempata Akan, the Ojirapo of Akwamu Mine, Amarukai Tipimu, the Akwamu Nation in North America. So today we have our first episode of Egua. Egua and Akan culture means marketplace. So today is Avukuda, today is Wednesday, or Akuada, and we're having the show. We're going to have this show every Avukuda, every Akuada, every Wednesday, and we're dealing with the marketplace. The Abosom, or the divinities, they govern the planet Aku, which is called Mercury, which is the day. The planet, or the Ochin Nsarama, that governs Wednesday, or Avukuda, or Akuada, and Akan culture are called Awuku and Akua. The male Abosom, divinity, force in nature, is called Awuku. The female is called Akua. Awuku and Akua are the same in Kemet as Set and Nebethet. In the Yoruba tradition, that will be Eshu and Agberu. The female, the wife of Eshu, is Agberu. In Vodun, that will be Legba and Konikoni. So we're talking about Awuku and Akua. They govern communication. Awuku governs communication. He carries the prayers, the atai, from us to the Nananum and Samafo, the ancestresses and ancestors, to the Abosom, to the Supreme Being, Nyamewa, Nyame, and carries their messages back to us. Akua carries in her basket, in her vessel, the offerings, the ritual offerings that we give to the Abosom, to the Nsamafo, to the Great Mother, Great Father, from us to them. So she's a courier in the same fashion that Awuku or Set or Eshu is a courier as well. She's a courieress. He's a courier. So they deal with media of exchange. That also includes, has to do with, money. In fact, the title of Awuku, or he's also called Kweku Anansi, the trickster. One of his titles is Eku Sika. Sika means gold, but it's also a term that references medium of exchange or money. And this is why in Akan culture he's connected to that, because communication is a medium of exchange. The exchange of money, that's a medium of exchange to transmit value. So this is what we have. This is why we're doing this on this day. The energy of the day governs the marketplace in that sense. It governs the exchange of ideas, the exchange of goods, the exchange of services, the exchange of products, and so forth. So now we have a couple of articles and videos on Awuku and Akua where we go into detail about the nature and the function of these Abosom. What we're going to do every week, yesterday was Benada, Abenada. We dealt with Ojira, ritual purification, Nanasom, Afurakani, Afurakaiti, and ancestral religion. That's on Benada or Tuesday. On Awukuda or Akuada, Wednesdays, we will be dealing with Egua, with the marketplace. We will highlight different Afurakani, Afurakaiti, or African black businesses that are beneficial, that are providing products and or services to the Afurakani, Afurakaiti community that are beneficial for us, and that are also reflect our authentic ancestral values. We're not promoting businesses that are just money-making entities that don't support our values. We need to have something that is beneficial financially, but also supports our values at the same time, that's enriching to our culture, that's self-affirming for us as a people. So this week I'm going to talk about the products and services that we offer through ojirapo.com. And in the coming weeks, we will be dealing with one or two businesses per week, different people, brothers and sisters, some who are naturopaths, some who are engineers, some people who deal with all kinds of different things, bio-organic farming, traditional dance, martial arts, all kinds of things. So we're going to deal with that on a regular basis. If you're in the chat, Send me a message right quick just so I can know that you can hear well, the sound is clear. I see we have some members in the chat right now. The call-in number is 657-383-0635. And when you call in, just let us know, put your hand up if you want to speak, and we're going to be fielding some questions moving forward. But if somebody in the chat room now, and the only way you can interact in the chat room, you have to actually sign in. If you're a guest in the chat room, then you can't interact in the chat room. You can see it, but you can't interact. You have to actually sign in order to post a message in the chat. So for those who have signed in, if you can post a message, just let me know that you can hear me clearly so we can make sure that everything is straight. Okay. So moving forward, we want to talk about some of the products and services that you find at ojidafo.com, as well as our other websites, sankofajuma.com and nkwamua.com. So first we're going to talk about our publications and how they benefit the community and support our values. We have about 12 books. We have over 60 research articles on the website. We also have about 48 videos. Most of them are about 2 hours each, instructional material based on our publication. So we have publications. Then we will do instructional videos where we go through the publication and make clarifications and also give additional information. Our publications are based on Afurakani, Afuraikani ancestral religion, culture, and nation-building restoration. This is what we publish about. This is what we teach. So all of the PDF versions of our publications, meaning all of the e-books, the 12 e-books, as well as the 60-plus articles, the PDF versions, the e-book versions, as well, of course, as the videos and so forth, all of those on ojidafo.com, O-D-W-I-R-A-F, as in free, O, .com. All of those publications in PDF form, ebook form, are free downloads. Now, recently, over the past couple of months, what we have done in addition to the free downloads is that we have published soft cover versions of 7 of our books to date, and we will be adding to that number. But at this particular point, we have 7 of the publications in soft cover in addition to the PDF version. The soft cover versions, we print ourselves, we print in-house, and we print in color. So we do actually sell the soft cover versions. And the prices range at this for these 7 between $8 and $11. So they're very inexpensive, and there's a discount on multiple shipping. We're going to talk about quickly the soft cover versions that we have to date. The first one, Afuraka, Afuraikai, The Origin of the Term, Africa, Parts 1 through 4. This is a soft cover publication. Of course, it's also available as a free ebook from the website. So in this publication, we go into detail proving conclusively that the term Africa is an indigenous term from Afurakani, Afuraikaitini people. We've shown in the Medutu, in the hieroglyphics from ancient Kemet and Kanit, ancient so-called Egypt and Nubia, but the original names Kemet and Kanit, the actual terminology, Afurakai, which we show from the papyrus of Hunefer, as well as chapter 17, plate 5, as well as the papyrus of Ani, chapter 17, plate 7, as well as from the temple of Paraka, which they call Philae. The actual term Afrakai, Afraka, referencing the first landmass created by Ra, the creator, Ra'et, the creatress, at the beginning of creation. So we show it in context. We show the actual terminology. We show the actual hieroglyphics that spell out the name fully, and we show the cosmology that undergirds the name and the development of the name, talking about Afu, Ra, and Afuraet, titles of Ra and Ra'et, the creator and creatress, when the great spirit Ra and the great spirit Riot, when they move through matter, they take on the titles Afu Ra and Afu Riot. Afu means flesh, but it also means a house, a place of residence in the language of Kemet, as well as that of the Akan and Yoruban. We have those various linguistic connections. The term Ka and Kaet are the male and female terms for soul or divine consciousness, but they also reference a raised land. The male and female terms for a raised land or a high land, meaning a mountain or a hill or land above the banks of the river. So the first Ka, raised land, or Kaet, raised land, that Afura and Afuraet moves through to create the first land mass of earth is called the Ka of Afura or Afura Ka, the Kaet of Afuraet, Afuraet Kaet, the land of the creator, land of the creatress. So we go into detail to show that cosmology. We show the definitions. We make connections between the Akan language, Yoruba language, and so forth, just to show the continuity, the cultural continuity linguistically as well as cosmologically, to prove that this term comes directly from our people, directly from our languages. It has no origin outside of our culture and our cosmology. We also dispel the myth of the false etymologies promoted by the whites and their offspring and repeated by many black authors, authoresses, and so forth. The name does not come from Latin. It doesn't come from Greek. It doesn't come from Arabic. It doesn't come from Phoenician. It doesn't come from Sanskrit. So all those various terms that they have promoted as being a possible origin of those terms, when you look in the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization publication dealing with the origin of the term Africa, and they give about 7 possible definitions from various different languages, we show all of those definitions. We show that they're not words from those different languages. Even those words are taken directly from the language of ancient Kemet. We show the actual Medutu that produces these words with the same meaning, and also show that they're not the origin of the term Afuraka, Afurakaid, or Africa. And then we also, of course, expose the fact that Scipio Africanus did not name the continent. We go into detail about his lineage of him, his brother, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. None of them had the name Africanus. He took on the name when he invaded Afuraka, Afurakaid, and conquered a portion of the north. And then he took on the name Africanus because he invaded and conquered a portion of the northern part of the continent. So he became known as Scipio Africanus. Prior to that, his last name was Scipio. His name was Publius Cornelius Scipio. His father's name was Publius Cornelius Scipio. His grandfather's name was Lucius Cornelius Scipio, and his great-grandfather's name was Lucius Cornelius Scipio Barbatus. And his brother's name was Lucius Cornelius Scipio. So when his brother invaded Asia, his brother and conquered a portion of Asia, his brother then became known as Scipio Asiaticus. And when he invaded, when Publius invaded Afuraka, Afurakaid, Africa, and took over the northern part of the continent, then he became known as Publius Cornelius Scipio Africanus because he invaded. So we, just like Scipio Asiaticus didn't name the continent Asia, he took on the name of the continent when he conquered that portion of the continent and became Asiaticus. His brother, when he invaded Afuraka, Afurakaid, he took on the name Africa or Africanus after he conquered that portion. It was the way that the whites and their offspring claimed dominance by taking on the name of the place that they conquered in that particular region. So we go into detail about all of that because many Afurakani, Afurakaidni people, black people, Afrocentric scholars, and so forth, African-centered scholars, or people who identify with that, they very often continue to repeat that falsehood that the name Africa is not indigenous to the culture. So we were the first to publish the actual information and find the actual name in the Medutu, in the hieroglyphics. We were the first, black or white or other, to publish this information, and that's in the text. It's critical to understand the cosmology, which is the infrastructure that gives birth to the term. So you need to know the names of the divinity. We need to know why Ra and Riet take on the title Afura and Afuraet, and why they move through the Ka, what does Ka mean, and so forth. So we have all of that information in that text. So we deal with that. We also address other issues as well. We show the actual etymological origin of the term Al-Kabulan, which is not an indigenous term from the continent. It's actually an Arabic corruption. So we go into detail about the etymology of that term because many people are using that term believing that it's an actual indigenous name for the continent, which is incorrect. That term can be found repeated by Leo Africanus, who's a different individual than Scipio Africanus, who lived a couple of thousand years ago. Leo Africanus lived about 500 years ago, and it's from that work, when he was speculating about the origin of the name Afuraka Afurakai, when he was writing his History of Africa, that he speculates about the Latin and the Greek and so forth. And then he also mentions Al-Kabulan, which he spells with an M instead of an N, being the name that the Arabians and Ethiopians used for the continent. But, of course, we're talking about what they now call a Semitic dialect with the Al prefix and so forth. We go into detail about that. Jebelain in Arabic means between the two mountains. El Jebelain means the land between the two mountains. And it's talking about what's now called Phoenicia, Palestine, and so forth. That's a title that comes from there, that comes from that language, comes from that culture. It's not an ancient indigenous title. So we give the etymology, which no one has done until we published that. Nobody knew where it came from, although we were repeating it. And then even when people found out where it came from, they didn't have the etymology of what does it actually mean. Nobody knew what Al-Kabulan meant until we published this information. So that's in the text as well. So we give a great deal of information on that cosmological underpinnings of the term, and then we show how it's directly connected to us as a people, our identity, our landmass, our foundation of spiritually. It has to do, of course, again, Ka and Kayet are the male and female terms, not only for high land, but also for soul, divine consciousness, which defines us as a people. So we go into detail about that in that publication. The next publication we have in soft cover, as well as ebook with a soft cover, Maranechi, Divine Law, Love, and Divine Hate. So Divine Law and Divine Hate, Maranechi, are the expansive and contractive poles of the reality that we call divine order. So divine order is composed of two poles, an expansive pole and a contractive pole. The expansive pole is law, which is the same as the term love in our traditional culture. And the contractive pole is hate. So through law, we incorporate those things we need to harmonize our thoughts and our intentions and actions with divine order. And through hate, we reject those things, objects, deeds, and entities that we need to reject, that we need to repel, so that we can maintain order within ourselves. Your immune system is the vehicle of the divine hate of the Supreme Being. It rejects disorder, rejects cancerous cells, it rejects perversity in order to maintain the integrity of your system, to maintain the order within your system. Most people have been taught by the whites and their offspring that hate is evil, hate is wrong, hate represents a low vibration of energy, hate is destructive, hate creates stress. All of that is pure nonsense. Hate is divine. Hate is sacred. There, just like there are gods and goddesses of law, Ma'at and Ma'at, the male divinity is Ma'at and Kemet, the female divinity is Ma'at, divinities of law and balance. Just like there are deities of law, there are deities of hate, Heru Bedeti or Heru Behudet and Sechima or Sekhmet are the male and female divinities of divine hate. They literally have the term hate in their titles. So the whites and their offspring politically recognize that if we were taught that hate is divine, that you can get in harmony with divine order by embracing divine hate, which means you will exterminate cancerous individuals, and by doing that, you will get yourself in harmony with divine order. That politically is not conducive for them to control our population. They couldn't invade territories like they have. They spent thousands of years invading ancient Kemet. Typically, for thousands of years, we would crush them militarily So then they began to take the approach where they would infiltrate and try to engage in trade and commerce, try to look at the different disgruntled people in society, wait for people to have conflict, wait for internal strife, wait for civil war, and side with one group against the other, or try to arm both groups at the same time and try to help that fracturing continue to become a great fracturing in society so that they could control and take control of a certain region. It took them thousands of years to gain a foothold in northern Kemet. It took from the time going back close to 6,000 plus years ago up until the Assyrians and then the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans and then later the Arabs took over. It took them thousands of years of trial and error to finally be able to gain control, and that was because of our own internal strife. So once they gain that control, how do you maintain control over a people who had never been under anybody's control before? You have to corrupt the religion. You have to corrupt the culture. You have to corrupt the cosmology. One of the ways they did that, and the chief way they did that, was to corrupt the fragments of the culture and manufacture fake religions and fake religious characters, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hebrewism, and so forth, all these different variations of the same corruption. Part of the teaching is to teach, turn the other cheek, don't hate, love is the only thing that's divine, God doesn't hate, and all this other nonsense. That was a political ploy to get us to believe that hate, which is actually divine, they want us to believe that that's wrong. If you believe that hate is wrong, then you will never attack the people who are oppressing you because you think that you place yourself out of divine order. But we go into detail about the etymology of the word hate as well as the etymology of the word law, which is the same as the word love in our traditional languages, the same word and the same concept. For example, the term meh in ancient Kemet means love, affection, and so forth, desire. In Coptic, the surviving dialect of the ancient language, meh becomes meh. The word ma'ah also becomes meh in the Coptic dialect. So the word for love, meh, is also the word for law, meh. We also show the etymological origin of the term as it is written in English. We show that the LV consonantal structure and LW consonantal structure is the same term. We show how the V evolves into the U and then the U evolves into the W over the course of hundreds of years. So LV and LW is the same structure. Love and law is the same structure, but we go back to the cosmology and go back to our ancient languages showing that meh meaning law and meh meaning love is the same concept. So if you're in love, quote-unquote, with a thing or entity, that simply means you're in law with respect to your interaction with that object, entity, and so forth. You're in law with the Earth Mother. You live in harmony with Earth Mother. You're in law with someone of the opposite sex, meaning you live in harmony with respect to your interaction with that individual as measured against divine order. So we show that, but then we also show the etymology of the term hate. The term hate does not come from Indo-European languages. We trace the etymology back to the Proto-Indo-European root, but then we go back and show that Proto-Indo-European root actually goes back to ancient Kanit, ancient Kemet, with the exact same meaning. So we go into detail and show that, and then we show actually the term can be found as titles of Setchimal Sekhmet and a title of Heru Behudet, meaning those who engage. In fact, the root term means to break or destroy, destruction. That's what hate is defined as. Hate becomes Ket or Ket, and going back to Proto-Indo-European, Tocharian, and so forth, but that goes back to ancient Kemet, meaning Ket or Chet or Het, meaning hate to destroy, to break, destroy, crush, and so forth. When you hate something, you reject it, you repel it, you destroy it, you reject it. And you'll see the Medut, one of the determinative Medut symbols is a man with a stick attacking something, breaking, destroying. That's why in the Proto-Indo-European root, the term Ket means to destroy, to break. They don't know why it means to destroy or break. When you hate something, you reject it, you repel it, you crush it, you destroy it. They know that's the meaning, but they don't know why it's the meaning. when you go back to ancient Kemet, you have the exact same term, but you see the man standing there with a stick breaking or destroying or repelling something. Now you have the actual visual. And then when you have the names of the Abosom, the divinities, the deities, the Ntoru, Ntortu, who actually have that as part of their name, and their forces in nature that are contractive, that destroy disorder, just like the immune system physically destroys disorder, cancer cells, isolates them, destroys them, and expels them, repels them, rejects them, hates them, then you see that these forces in nature that operate through the immune system, the lymphatic system, they have that same function in creation, and part of their name is hate or heck and so forth. Now we have the cosmological underpinning about why the term means to hate, to destroy, to repel, to reject, and so forth. So we go into detail about all of that, because if you don't understand that law and hate, or love and hate, are two poles of the reality of divine order, then you'll always be disaligned from order. When you're disaligned from divine order, you can't harmonize your thoughts, your intentions, and your actions with divine order. You'll be off. And when you engage in thoughts, intentions, and actions that are disordered, then that leads not only to disorder in your physical body by eating the wrong foods or engaging in behaviors that are self-destructive, but then your thoughts, intentions, and actions with regard to your behavior, with regard to other people in your community, your interactions, your relationships, and the things that you develop, the institutions you develop, institutions develop to feed yourself, hold yourself, promote culture, promote security, build homes and institutions and so forth. If you're on the wrong foundation or disorder foundation, you build disordered institutions and you will have a disordered society, which is self-destructive. So in order to harmonize our thoughts, intentions, and actions with order, we must understand the expansive and contractive poles of order, which is divine law and divine hate. That's critical. If we don't understand that, we know absolutely nothing about ancestral religion. We know nothing about ancestral culture. We know nothing about a real nation-building process. Most of our people who practice various expressions of ancestral religion and culture, they have a misunderstanding of divine law. They don't even know that divine hate even exists, so they don't know what to reject. They don't know what to accept. Divine order is about the acceptance of that which is in harmony with law and the rejection of that which is disordered and is pervaded. If you don't understand what to accept and what to reject, it's like a body without an immune system. It will accept everything, things that are good for it, as well as those that bacteria that will actually destroy you. So you need to understand what to accept and what to reject. That's what ancestral culture is. It is the divine acceptance or the love or law of order and the divine rejection of disorder. You accept those things you need to harmonize with order. You reject those things, objects, deeds, and entities, individuals, and groups that you need to reject in order to harmonize with order and restore balance to yourself. So we go into all of that information in the book, Maranechi. That's the second book that we have. The next one is Kukutuntun, the Ancestral Jurisdiction. Kukutuntun is one of the first publication we released was Uben Shang, which we'll talk about that. We've released that in 12,997, which in the Gregorian calendar is 1997, or the end of 97-98. So we actually released it in 12,998, but that was December of 1997 in this calendar. But the second publication we released was Kukutuntun, the Ancestral Jurisdiction. That's a seminal work. We released it as an audio of 3-CD set when we first released it in 13,002, which in Gregorian calendar is 2002. A few years later, we put the entire 3 CDs on our website as a free download. So all the MP3 files are free downloads, and they still are. Then after that, we ended up publishing the actual book, the actual transcript of those 3 CDs. It's an 80-page book. It's a full transcript. In addition to the transcript, we have additional information associated with the text. We have Medutu hieroglyphics that point to the different names and different things that we're talking about in the text. So additional information as well as references in that text. Hukutuntum deals with the cosmological foundation of creation, the nature of Ra and Ra'et, Ka and Ka'et, Amen and Amenet, and so forth, Ma'a and Ma'at. We go into detail about the cosmological foundation of creation. We talk about the nature and the function of the ancestresses and ancestors and their relationship to us. We talk about the nature and the function of the Abosom, the Orisha, the Vodou, the Ntoru and Ntorotu, sometimes mispronounced Neturu and Netutu, the deities, the forces in nature, the spiritual forces that animate the sun, animate the moon, animate the earth mother, animate the oceans, animate the rivers, animate the atmosphere, the planets, the black substance of space, and so forth. These forces in creation that physically that we're dependent on the earth mother, we're dependent on the rivers, we're dependent on the sun physically, we're dependent on the atmosphere, of course, physically, but spiritually, our spirits are dependent on the spiritual agents that animate the sun and animate the earth mother and the oceans and so forth. They, just like the physical sun's energy replenishes our bodies, the spirits that animate the sun replenishes the spirit of our spirits as well. So our spirits are fed by the energy of the forces in nature. We talk about the nature and function of these forces in nature and their relationship to us. We talk about the origin of the whites and their offspring, rooted in their disordered behavior, sexuality, incest, homosexuality, that kind of nonsense. A very small percentage of our people on the continent of Afuraka, Afurakai, a few thousand years ago, because of their perverse behavior, were exiled. They escaped from being killed. Typically, when people engage in that kind of behavior, incest, murder, rape, and so forth, we kill those individuals. Some of them escaped from that. Some of them migrated up into northern Eurasia, and because of their behavior, they repelled their own Kra, repelled their own Krawa, their own Ka, Ka'et. When we engage in perverse behavior, we become repulsive to our own soul, the Ka, the Ka'et is called in ancient Kemet, the Okra, the Okrawa is called in the Akan tradition, the Ori Inu, as in called in the Yoruba tradition, or the Selido in the Vodun tradition. The soul, the divine consciousness, is a divinity, a deity, a force in nature that is assigned to us by the supreme being that dwells within our head region. Kra, or the Ka, the Ka'et, in the head region as a force, initially, that pulls us within our head towards proper behavior, towards harmonious behavior. Sometimes that pull in our heads that we feel towards a certain kind of behavior, we go in a different direction. We're being pulled in one direction and we move in the other direction. And we're disaligned from it. And of course, that doesn't work out for us. Spirituality is about aligning with that pull in the head, within aligning with the krawa, the soul that dwells within our head, that force that dwells with us. It is an entity, it's a divinity, it's a conscious force that dwells with us, that was assigned to us by the Supreme Being, the great mother and father, Amenet and Amen, or Nyamewa Nyame, pre-incarnation. They assigned a divinity to dwell with us in our head region. That is your soul. When you engage in disordered behavior, you repel that entity. Just like you can have two magnets on a table and the same polarities are facing, and they will push each other across the table without touching, because the like polarities are facing. When you engage in disordered behavior, you repel your Kra, you repel your Okrawa. And when you repel it, it doesn't have to dwell in disordered behavior. If you're engaged in rape or murder or incest or dissexuality, homosexuality, and so forth, we talk about dissexuality. We refer to it homosexuality because dis meaning not. Dissexual is a more proper and fitting term because sexuality is not occurring. Real sexuality is not occurring when somebody is engaged in so-called homosexuality. We refer to it as dissexuality. So when people engage in that perversity, or engage in incest, or engage in criminality, you make yourself repulsive to your own crop, your own soul, and that force disengages from your head. When you engage in any kind of criminal or self-destructive activity, you make yourself repulsive to your craft, you make yourself repulsive to your ancestresses and ancestors, you make yourself repulsive to the forces of nature, just like you make yourself repulsive to your community. If you engage in criminal behavior, people in the community want to have nothing to do with you. They want to take you out, typically, if it's extreme criminal behavior. But you make yourself repulsive to them, but you also make yourself spiritually, energetically repulsive to the forces of nature, because the deities, the forces of nature, are embodiments of divine order. They only operate in harmony with divine order. So if you engage in disorder, you become repulsive, just like those two magnets repulsing one another. Those who engage in that kind of negative activity in the community, we would typically kill. If somebody is a child molester, if they're rapists, if they're engaged in dissexuality, we would kill them, we would repel them, we would destroy them. Those who escaped that fate and migrated and went up into northern Eurasia, those became later on, after the end of the last ice age, because of their isolation, as well as their incest, which increases the incidence of albinism and autoimmune diseases like vitiligo, where your melanin is stripped. They lost their melanin content when they migrated into those areas and continued to engage in that perverse activity. It was precipitated, like we said last night, by the corrupt behavior, the repulsion of the cry, repulsion of that soul, divine consciousness. Now, these are spirits without soul. It's like having a body without a brain, a body without a head, spirit that has repelled the cry, the ka, the kaya. It is no longer attached. It has returned to the great mother and great father, and now you have a disordered spirit, a wayward, uncultivated, discordant spirit, a disordered spirit operating, and this is what the whites and their offspring are, Eurasians, the whites and their offspring, white Americans, white Europeans, white Hispanics, white pseudo-Native Americans, which are just Asians, white Asians, Hindus, Arabs, and so forth, all non-black people. We call Achiwadiefo, which means spirits of disorder, spirits that are taboo, spirits that are spiritually repulsive or divinely hated by the supreme being, spirits of disorder. You become a spirit of disorder when you repel your own ka, you repel your own kayak. So this is what happened with these individuals. That was the first thing. The loss of the melanin was just an effect of that later once they migrated away. And of course, it has to do something with diet. It has to do with more so with incest, autoimmune disease, vitiligo, and so forth because of their behavior. So we talk about the origin of the whites and their offspring. They are spirits of disorder. There's no reconciliation of order, which is us, and non-Afurakani, non-Afurakani people. So we go into detail about that, then we start talking about truestery and what took place with us thousands of years ago up until this point. We go into detail about the origin of the fictional characters of the Bible, of the Quran, and Talmudic characters as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. So we show in detail, conclusively, that Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Moses, Aaron, David, Solomon, Sheba, Menelik, Jesus, Yeshua ben Pandera, Muhammad, Brahman, Buddha, all of these characters are absolutely 100% fictional. They never existed of any race whatsoever. They were not black. They were not white. They didn't exist at all. So we go into detail to prove that. We show the cosmology of ancient Kemet, the specific deities from ancient Kemet, forces in nature from whom the names were stolen, descriptive titles were stolen from these forces in nature, their functions in creation and how they interact with one another, operating through the sun, the moon, the earth, how these forces interact with one another, the stories that develop from that interaction, because these are spiritual agencies animating these physical bodies. And these same spirits that animate the sun, animate the moon, animate the earth mother, when we engage in ritual practice, their spirits will enter our bodies through spirit possession. They will communicate with us through ritual dance and ritual song and divination and various other means. So when we talk about the forces of nature and ancient Kemet and the stories about the divinities, it's talking about how they actually operate in connection with one another and in connection with us. Weiss and their offspring took fragments of stories on these different papyri, the descriptive titles of different divinities, and manufactured white characters who never existed, and added corrupted names, corrupted titles, and fragments of stories and functions of divinities to these fictional white characters, and said they actually existed and they lived in Palestine and we're descended from them, or that they're descended from them and we need to follow them. This was how they manufactured Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Hebrewism, Taoism, Hinduism, pseudo-esotericism like Sufism and Kabbalism and Hermeticism and all of the other pseudoisms. All of that nonsense, we crushed that in detail. That's in the Kukulcum-Tum. So all of that is in the Kukulcum-Tum, the ancestral jurisdiction. Of course, free PDF ebook on the website, but then at the same time, we have the soft cover version. That particular book is $10. So that one is $10. Modern Echi is $11. Afaraka Afaraka, the origin of the term Africa, is $10 as well. We also have, and by the way, we also have videos associated with these different texts. So we actually go through the text and the video to even break it down even further and answer questions and so forth. Those videos are posted on the respective pages as well as on our YouTube channel. Ojirafo. The next text we have is Uben Shang, The Ancestral Summon. That is the first text that we published, which we said before, 12,998, which is Gregorian, December of 1997. Uben Shang details the nature and function of our ritual practices and shows the functionality and validity of our ritual practices and what they are for. That means libation, ritual song, ritual dance, ancestral communication, ancestral and deity possession, nature worship, idol worship, all different kinds of things. All the various rituals that we engage in, we have a specific means by which we receive, transmit, and process energy in a measurable fashion, in a quantifiable fashion, so that our communication with the ancestresses and ancestors and the deity, the Nananum Nsamafu, as we call it in Akan, the ancestresses and ancestors, the spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, and the Abosom, the deities, the forces in nature. They're called Egungun and Orisha and Yoruba and Ubito or Kutito and Bodun in the phone in every tradition. The Aku and Akutu, the illuminated ones, meaning the ancestresses and ancestors, the honorable ones, in the language of ancient Kemet, the Ntoroktu, meaning the deities in ancient Kemet. We talk about our interaction with them through ritual practice, the nature and function of the Supreme Being, our relationship to the Supreme Being, and how we engage these ritual practices to communicate and incorporate law and restore balance to our lives. Ancestral religion is about the ritual incorporation of divine law and the ritual restoration of divine balance. Through ritual practices, we can incorporate law, those things, objects, deeds, and entities we need to harmonize with order, and we can restore balance when we get out of that balance, whether it's physical disease or a cultural disorder, discordance, and so forth. We can restore balance to our lives, our bodies, as well as our communities, and to our spirits through ritual. So the ritual incorporation of law, the ritual restoration of divine balance. Incorporation of divine law and the ritual restoration of divine balance. The rituals that we use are functional, they're instrumental, none of them are purely symbolic. If there's something just symbolic, then we do not engage in that. So that's what the Uben Shang, the Ancestral Summon, covers. That's another soft cover publication with it, and of course it also has a PDF version. That's a $9 publication as well. Now, as we move along, if you have any questions in the chat, you can ask questions in the chat, and we're also going to take questions for those who have called in. You can hit the button, which is like raising your hand, to let us know if you have any questions there. So let me talk about quickly the other few soft cover version publications, and then we can have some discussions, and then we'll talk about some of the services that we offer, the free services as well. One of the next publications is the Okra Complex, The Soul of Akanfo, and that's That particular book goes into detail about the nature of the soul, the nature of the Ori Inu, it's called in Yoruba, the nature of the Ka or the Kaet. That's the male Ka, female Kaet or Ka, male and female titles for soul or divine consciousness in Kemet. The soul is called the Okra in Akan culture, Okra or Okrawa, female in Akan culture, Sevido in Vodun. So we talk about what is the soul? What is divine consciousness? What is that force that's dwelling within your head? What is its provenance? Where does it come from? The great mother Amenet, the great father Amen, called Inyamewa in Akan, the great mother Inyame, the great father. All the various cultures, our ancestral cultures, deal with the great mother and the great father who work together and function as a unit, the supreme being. There's not just a great God, there's a God and a goddess. There's not just a creator, there's a creator and creatress. Ra and Ra'at are the creator and creatress. They're called in Yonkumpon and Yonkunton in Akan culture. They are servants of Amen and Amenet. They are subordinate to Amen and Amenet. So we go into detail about that cosmology. It is Amen and Amenet or Nyame and Nyamewa who give us our Kra, our Okrawa, our soul, pre-incarnation. Our spirit goes before Nyamewa, Nyame. We are infused with a soul, divine consciousness. It's like a body being given a brain. The brain, encoded within the brain, is all the directives and the functions of the entire body. Encoded within the Okra is the divine function we are given to execute in the world. What we are like cells within the great divine body of the supreme being. The deities are like the organs that regulate order within the body. They are smaller bodies within the great body. It's like your organs are smaller bodies within your body. And your organs have children, which are the cells, and the cells serve the organs. And when they serve the organs, they're serving the whole body at the same time. The great divine body is that of Amen and Amenet, or Nyame and Nyamewa. Their organs are the deities, the spirit forces in creation that animate the sun, moon, stars, earth, oceans, rivers, and so forth. We are like cells within those organs. We are children of those organs. Our parent organs are the divinity. So just like the liver cells support the liver deity or the liver function, and when they support the liver deity, their parent organ, then they're supporting the whole body at the same time. We are cells within the great divine body of Amen, Amenet, Nyamewa, Nyame, and we're cells of different organs, different divinities. When we serve that divinity, we were born to function in accordance with and bring that energy into the world, into the human sphere, then we're serving the whole body at the same time. We have a specific function to execute in creation as Afurakani, Afurakaini people, individually and collectively, just like every cell in your body has a specific function. Liver cells don't do what the heart cells do. Heart cells don't do what the spleen cells do. Spleen cells don't do what the brain cells do. Every cell has a specific function that's encoded within it, and it executes that function in service to the whole body. We have a specific function. Some of us are immune system cells, so we're naturally inclined towards protection of the community. Some of us are skeletal cells within the great divine body, so we're naturally inclined towards engineering. Some of us are cells within the body that have to do with healing, like the lymphatic system to a certain degree. So we're naturally inclined towards wanting to engage in the healing practices or even surgery or things like that to remove abscesses and things like that. So based on what divinity that governs you, you're naturally inclined towards certain kinds of behavior because you're carrying a certain energy into the human sphere. It's like the deities carry energy into the mineral realm, the vegetable realm, the animal realm, in the human sphere, we carry certain, the same energy of different divinities into the human sphere. Those are our functions. We have specific ways that we operate. Encoded within your Kra, your soul, your spirit's brain, just like if you have a physical body with a smaller body, which is the brain that regulates the physical body, you have a spirit body and a smaller spiritual brain that regulates the spirit body. That's your Ka, your Kaya, your Kra, your Krawa, your soul. Encoded within that is the function you were given by the supreme being to execute in creation. And when you align yourself spiritually, spirituality is about aligning with that divine function and operating in harmony with that divine function. And when you get off track, there are rites and rituals you can engage in to restore order and balance to yourself and therefore to the community as well. So we go into all of that cosmology in detail, dealing with the nature of the krawa, the soul, in that particular text, the okra complex, the soul of our Akanfo. The next text we have, so that was the fifth one, we have Oberima, Akurakani Manhood, where we talk about seven principal values of manhood based on the forces in nature that govern the 7 days of the week. So every single day is governed by a different one of the sun, moon, or one of the planetary bodies. And they have a different effect on the body of the person and the temperament of the person. So every day there's an opportunity to harmonize with that force in creation, attune to the value that governs that day, and express that. So we can align our thoughts, intentions, and actions with orderly behavior as men, as Afurakani men. So we go into detail about that in Oberima, Afurakani Manhood. That's a book that every Afurakani male should have. It's used for those of us who, you know, are already grown, as well as people who are going through rites of passage or about to go through rites of passage, or if they don't have a rites of passage program, this is a way to align the young male with their function as an Afurakani male in society. And those seven principal values of order and balance, arming yourself to defend that order and balance, engaging in thoughts, intentions, and actions, and making decisions that are in harmony with order, using proper insight, connecting with the Afurakani female, who is your balance, and respecting and embracing your ancestral culture so you can consistently engage in thoughts, intentions, and actions that are harmonious for the rest of your life. As an Afurakani male, we go into detail about all of that in that text. We also have Nkwamua, Whole Life Journal. We talk about holistic health. We talk about melanin, Abatum, and its properties. We talk about true historical information. This is like an introductory text, introduction to different aspects of ancestral culture. It's about physical soundness and spiritual soundness from the center of culture. So this is something that people who don't know anything about ancestral culture at all can read. They can learn stuff about natural foods. They can learn things about melanin, what makes us black physiologically, and the value of melanin. They can learn about resilience. They can learn about our true historical information here in America, as well as ancient cultural information, true historical information they've never seen before. A number of different things in the Nkwamua Whole Life Journal. So that's Afuraka, Afurakai, the origin of the term Africa, Marane Chi, Divine Law and Divine Hate, Uben Shang, the Ancestral Summon, Kukuntuntun, the Ancestral Jurisdiction, the Okra Complex, the Soul of Akanfo, Oberima, Afurakani Manhood, and Nkwamua, the Whole Life Journal. So those are the seven publications that we have in soft cover, as well as in the free PDF ebook version. Those soft cover versions, again, range from $8 to $11. And we also have a program, which we can talk about within the next segment, where for those who want to be distributors of our soft cover publications, you can order them wholesale. And then, of course, you can sell them retail. So you can generate additional income for yourself. You're your own entrepreneur. You wouldn't be working for us. You'd be working for yourself. You just purchase the books from us, but then you would sell them on your own, generate income for yourself, additional income. Some people can do it full-time and, you know, do it that way. So we do have a program for that. We have a little short orientation video with detailed information about that, as well as a document showing the whole breakdown of the percentages and so forth, so we can get into that. Let's see. If anybody has any questions, let's take some questions now, and then we'll get into some of the other publications that we have, and then we'll talk about some of the services that we have. And this, of course, is all part of Ikwa Marketplace, the kind of products and services that are beneficial for the community, not only to generate economic activity and, you know, recycle our own dollars, but also information that is beneficial to the community, information that will help people restore order to their physical body, overcome disease, overcome mental illness or some people depression and things like that, changing that whole mindset so people can move forward in a productive fashion. All kinds of different benefits from proper information, incorporating proper information. So this is the kind of information we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks with different businesses, and we'll be interviewing different people and having people come on and talk about their businesses, and you'll be able to ask questions, get answers, get in contact with them, learn about their websites, and so forth. Our website, again, is odwirafo.com, odwirafo.com. So let's see if anybody, if there are any calls. Just let me know if you, okay. 4197, Michiawo. Okay, just listening?
Just listening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Okay, 8732, Michiawo.
I'm just listening.
Just listening? Okay, that's it. Okay, Michiawo, 1613. You have a question or comment?
Michiawo, this is Ia Ajua. I'm listening and you know, and learning, and I wanted to know in terms of doing business and incorporating your own business with business of your fellow brothers and sisters. Would you suggest an even approach, or would you promote your own first? You know what I mean? Like, would you promote what you're doing at the same level that you're sharing and promoting your fellow business, the businesses of your fellow brothers and sisters? Because I'm for a collective approach, but not to my own detriment.
Oh, okay. I understand. So, well, the key is, and this ties in directly with what we're talking about with regard to the Accra, what is your specific function in creation, and then a business model should be in alignment with that function. I know in this society, people will talk about things like, you know, whatever you can do to make some money, that's what's most important. Mm-hmm. And people do things to, you know, work jobs to, you know, generate money to pay bills and everything else. But if you have the opportunity to, you know, start a business or embrace a business model where it supports your values, at the, you know, the function you came into the world to execute, and also you can generate revenue at the same time, then that's ideal. So first, what is your specific function? That's what you focus on first. And then how mm-hmm. you move forward with that. If supporting someone else's business endeavors or interacting with them can harmonize with that, then, yeah, you can move forward with that as well. That's like supplemental to what you're doing. So it's still collective, but it's just like mm-hmm. the organs in the body have their own functions. That the heart right. is always going to primarily pump, you know, but it's going to interact with the lungs. It's an interdependent relationship, but it's not going to, you know, make its function subservient to what the lungs are doing. It's always going to, first and foremost, it's going to pump the blood. It's going to send the blood, but it's also going to allow the blood to be cleansed through the lungs and everything else and work in harmony with that. So you can do your own thing primarily, but at the same time support, you know, other businesses in an interdependent fashion.
Okay. I'm real clear on that. Okay, I understand. All right. Okay.
I think the only time we might either have an urge to move in that mm-hmm. direction where we're promoting another business like that, or Sometimes because we haven't been just raised in this culture, we're not given the idea that we even have a function in the world. And cause, and since we don't, we're not even taught that, we don't even know that exists, then we won't fashion, you know, economic activity around that. So
right.
To that extent, we actually are ignoring our function in the world, and we don't even realize that we're doing that. And we feel like we don't have anything, so then we're, the only thing we can do is support somebody else's thing, which is, you know, it's just, cosmologically, it's just not accurate, but we just have, that's just a learning process. But once we understand who we are and we actually do have a function, then we can, you know, develop activities around that, and then we can do what we're doing, but then we can also support what other people are doing.
Okay. I'm real clear on that. I understand.
Asante
Sana. Yeni Asana.
Okay, so we're going to check out, 6822. Michiavo, you have a question or comment? Okay, 6822, you just listening? Okay. 1772. You have a question or comment? Okay, you're just listening? All right, I think we have also 4255. You have a question or comment? You're just listening? Okay, looks like everybody's just listening right now. Let me check the chat right quick. Okay, so let us, we're going to talk about briefly some of our, well, a few other publications, and then we're going to talk about some of the services that we offer, a list of some of the publications, ANC, the origin of the term yoga. So we show etymologically that the term yoga comes, or yog, from the Proto-Indo-European so-called root really comes from yunk, really comes from yonk or onk, from ancient kanit and kemet. We go into detail about that. There's also a related article called Kara Kasa, the origin and nature of the chakra. The term chakra or kakra in Sanskrit comes from karakara in ancient kemet. So these terms and the ritual practices associated with these terms, the correct versions of these ritual practices, have no origin in India. They're directed terms, the cosmological foundation for these terms come directly from our culture in ancient Kanid, ancient Kemet, our shrine work with the ancestresses and ancestors, when we establish shrines and so forth, that comes directly from our people. And, of course, we migrated into ancient India thousands of years ago before the white their offspring got there. The traditional religious practices of ancient India were the same as those in Afuraka, Afuraikai. We worship the same divinities. We engage in ritual song, ritual dance, ritual prayer, ritual drumming, and everything else that you see in traditional Afuraka, Afuraikai, as well as in North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean, where we continue to see these traditions even in the advent and after the enslavement era. We still engage in these ritual practices. So it was the same there as it was everywhere else. It wasn't until the white Nile spring invaded thousands of years later, waging war for over 1,000 years, taking over the northern and northwestern parts of, you know, the Indian so-called subcontinent and everything else, that they began to corrupt various practices, manufacturing the pseudo-religions of Hinduism, Brahmanism, Taoism, Buddhism, and so forth, and corrupting the cosmology and corrupting the practices. So what they have now that's very popular is not what we were practicing, number one. And their approach to yoga and all of this is not, even the terminology is nonsense. It's inaccurate. They don't trace the terminology back to its roots. and they don't understand the cosmological underpinning of the term, so therefore their entire practice is nonsense. So we go into detail about that in those two articles. We also have the article, More Means Dead. It's a 29-page article where we show the etymological origin, the true origin of the term more, and of course more means dead. We show that cosmologically, etymologically, we trace all of the roots through the Indo-European languages back to ancient Kemet. We show in the Medusu and the hieroglyphics where these various definitions of more comes from, and we lay it out. So this is a very detailed article. That's one that became very, very popular, over 20,000 downloads so far, because it's a lot of misinformation being put out by the white female offspring, by the agents of the white female offspring in our community, as well as misguided individuals who've embraced that Moorish nonsense, that misinformation. So we had to clear that up, of course, and we had a very detailed article. It's in PDF form, of course, but we will be publishing a soft cover version of that as well. We have over 60 articles. We have a number of different articles on the Abosom of the 7 days of the Akan week. The Abosom that give us our names, like Kwesi and Kojo and Kwame and Ajua and Akua and Kweku and so forth. These soul names or Akradin are names that are associated with the Abosom, the deities that govern the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies that govern the 7 day week. So we talk, we have articles on each one of these divinities, their identities in ancient Kemet, in Akan culture, as well as associations with the Yoruba and Vodun, just to make that connection so people can see they're the same divinities across cultures. We have articles on all of them, then we also have videos on all of them. So there are a number of different articles that we have. Again, it's about 60-plus articles. Now, with regard to services to the community, we have a number of services. Akumasa, which has to do with substance abuse abstinence in the Afurakani, Afurakaitan community. So we have a presentation that deals with that, but then we also have a ritual method that people can utilize based on our ancestral religion, based on Nana Som, our Afurakani, Afurakaitan ancestral religion, where we can overcome substance abuse through the practice of our ancestral religion. Through the connection with our own kra ritually, people can connect with your own kra, connect with your insamafo, your ancestresses and ancestors, and they will take that, strip that desire for these controlled substances out of you. There are different ways to overcome, you know, substance abuse issues, but there are ways that are productive and there are ways that are self-destructive. Some people are utilizing false religions and taking one addiction to a substance, and then they become addicted to another white substance, which is the fictional character Jesus, and now they're hooked on that nonsense. So they go from one drug to the other drug. We can utilize our ancestral religion to strip that perverse desire out of us so we can reject the use of cigarettes, marijuana, which is very destructive, more so even than cigarettes. Creates lung cancer and everything else, alcohol, other drugs, and so forth. We've had a number of people who even just begin, before they even got through the entire process, and they just began the process of listening to the Kuku Tum Tum, going through the Uben Shang, Wabo Jia, and then the ritual prayer, ritual process where we sit with the Kra, engage in a ritual process, a very simple ritual process, on a 21-day cycle. Even before they got to all of that, they had already come up out of that addiction just by engaging the process and connecting with their kra and their insamafo, even before they got a chance to finish the 21 days, some people even before they got to it. Some people, we have many people who stopped smoking and stopped drinking just from reading the articles or listening to the audio and hearing the names of the Abosom and connecting with their insamafo on that level. That was enough to stop them after having been smoking for 10 years or 15 years or longer, or have been using alcohol for a number of years. So we have, but we do have a method. It's called the KUM method. That's an acronym for Kuku Tuntum, Ubin Sheng, Wavo Jira, and Mpai Bo, which means ritual prayer. So we have a ritual method to overcome substance abuse issues. Our Kumasa is talking about substance abuse abstinence. Of course, we do not charge for that. It's for Afurakani people only, of course. And the information is on the Akumasa page on the website. Related to that is Akumadine, which is talking about domestic abuse neutralization, the negative effects of domestic abuse, as well as the discarnate spirits that can attach themselves to people who have gone through negative situations like that. Those discarnate spirits tend to influence the person and keep them in a depressed state or influence them in that direction. We have a ritual method to overcome those negative conditioning, as well as to repel those negative discarnate, uncultivated spirits that may be plaguing the person so that they can get back on track and not allow those experiences that they've had to further condition them into the acceptance of more domestic abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse from anybody. They can reject all of that and move forward instead of spiraling into a disorder state or being stagnant and not being able to move forward in relationships or just in life because of what happened to them. So we have within our own culture ritual means to address any issue, and Akuma Dine is part of that. We also have Akuma Tra, which is trauma realignment, trauma recovery alignment. So people have gone through traumatic experiences, whether it's death in the family or, again, abuse or a number of different things. It's talking about transcarnational suffering and how to overcome transcarnational suffering. Sometimes the suffering that we've gone through is what has happened in this lifetime. Sometimes it carries over for what happened to us during enslavement. Some of us were tortured during enslavement. We still have fear because of that. That was encoded within us, and we still return into the world, reincarnate through the world, into the world, and still carry some of those scars. So we need to overcome that so we can move forward and be productive and not be stagnant and controlled by the foolishness of the whites and their offspring to the point that we're depressed, we suffer from major depression, we fall into various forms of mental illness and get diagnosed by psychologists and therapists with schizophrenia or, various bipolar 1 or bipolar 2 or various forms of, mental illness, and then they give us medication, which really destroys our body and keeps us in a corrupted state, really, mentally, and it really doesn't solve anything. So we have ways to address these things. Some people are suffering from trauma because they've had an abortion. Spirit of the child is still around the person causing anxiety. So how do you deal with that? How do you help the spirit of the child move along and make a transition to the ancestral realm so you can continue to get back to normal, get back to functioning in a harmonious fashion, not feeling that drain of energy, that depression, that anxiety, that tight energy on a regular basis? Because that can manifest physiologically as stress, which causes, hormonal secretions out of cycle, which can lead to fibroid tumors and everything else. The same thing with males, it can lead to prostate issues and stress issues and various other things when hormonal secretions are out of cycle because of stress, because of anxiety, because of discarnate spirits, whether it was the spirit of an aborted child that was actually one of your ancestors or ancestresses. It won't just plague the female, they'll plague the male if they came from your side of the family. Also, people who have been murdered, we've talked about that numerous times. Their spirit's still hanging around where you are, hanging around the house, hanging around you. If you don't know how to deal with them, their anxiety, you pick up, you're receptive to, and now you're receptive to their anxiety, and you're suffering from trauma spiritually because you're connected to some other spirit that is engaged, suffering anxiety as well. So there are ritual means to address these issues. That's what Akuma Tra is about, and we deal with that. That's on the website as well. Wamukasa, which means public speaking, we have You know, we do presentations in different cities. We've been to a number of different cities. We've been to Dallas, Texas. We've been to Knoxville, Tennessee. We've been to Houston. We've presented in Chicago. We've presented in Maryland. We've presented in D.C. We've presented in Pennsylvania. We've presented in Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, Michigan, a number of different places that we have presented. People call us out to present. Basically, we have just a couple of stipulations. Number one, we do not charge organizers a speaker's fee for our presentation. We also request or we require that people who attend our events, our workshops, our presentations are not charged an admissions fee to come and hear what we have to say. So we're not going to be charging people $10 to get in, $20 to get in. They must be able to come in for free. So those are our stipulations. We don't want to be charging people to hear ancestral culture, ancestral wisdom, which is actually our inheritance, Zafurakani, Afuraikaini people. So we work with organizers with respect to that. Organizers typically only have to cover travel expenses, which is just a flight and lodging and so forth, and that's it. People give donations sometimes, but that's not part of the package because we don't charge a per diem or a speaker's fee. So if you're interested in having us come out to your area to do a presentation, to do a workshop on any of these topics, then just, of course, contact us via, we're on Facebook, of course, at afuraka.afuraikaen, and, of course, our regular website, ojirafo.com. We also deal with Adebisa divination. We have a page on that on the website. We talk about that detail in pretty good detail. And then we also have our Ning site, which is a forum, a cultural network that you can join, create a profile. That's the afuraka-afuraikai.ning.com. That link is on our website as well. We also, in the field of behavioral health, we have Sankofa Juma, which is training where we train psychologists, therapists, social workers, caseworkers, case managers, community support workers, teachers, parents, on how to incorporate culture into their practices with their clients, with their students. So if you're a human services worker, when you're dealing with clients, whether they're mentally ill or people who are, you know, you're just dealing with people who, in the human services field, how to incorporate culture to help people achieve wellness from a whole life perspective. Physical soundness, spiritual soundness from the center of culture in an introductory fashion, but in an effective fashion. We published the Nkwamuwa Whole Life Journal as part of that process. So we have a training. Actually, the video is on our website, the Sankofa Juma website. You can link to that from our ojirafo.com website. 2.5-hour training. We go through the entire process, the method. We have an Afura whole life interventions approach where we can show people how to convey information with the journal in an introductory fashion to help facilitate the consumers or the client's self-discovery of themselves, their culture, and how that's the only way we can fully help our clients heal and move forward. You can't just give them resources. And you can't just give them a pseudo-philosophy. People need to have physical soundness, physical wellness, spiritual soundness from the center of culture, and that's a whole life approach to wellness. So we have that service as well. So let's go through a couple. I saw a couple of people called in. Just want to make sure. Okay, 3138, Michiobo. You have a question or comment? You just holding? Just listening?
Yeah. This is my name is Mark. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm good. Heads up.
I was calling because I'm interested in a total religious practice. You know, because when you talk about replacing Christianity or Islam, you're talking about replacing a total life in golfing practice. Okay, and I was just wondering, can you speak on how the African religion can take the place of that?
Okay, yes. So, and in reality, the Christianity and Islam and all that really took the place of the Afro-Africani ancestral religion in a fragmentary fashion. So when we return to our traditional culture, yes, it is an entire lifestyle from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to sleep, and even when you're sleeping, even the dreams you have are associated with the culture. So when we embrace our ancestral culture, it's a full lifestyle. Typically what we do, your religion is based on your culture. Afro-Africani ancestral religion or African ancestral religion, fundamentally across the board, wherever we are in the world, has the same structure, same people, same structure. We deal with the same great mother and great father, the supreme being. We deal with the same forces of nature that animate all of creation. We deal with our ancestresses and ancestors who give us the guidance on how to harmonize our activities based on our specific makeup. So those things are fundamental. The only differences are different people have different languages and different cultural expressions. So like the Yoruba language is slightly different than the Akan language. We have different names for things or different names for divinities, but we're talking about the same thing. Like we see the sun, and we're talking about the same sun, whether we call it the Oriya in Akan and the Yoruba people in Nigeria call it the Orun, we're still talking about the same sun. So when we talk about the great mother and great father, in medicine, great mother is called Aminet, great father is called Amen. In Yoruba, Olokun, Olorun, and Akan is Nyamewa, Nyamebo. We're talking about the great mother and the great father, the deities, the ancestral spirits, and us. We all have different, you know, languages, but we're talking about the same thing. However, all the languages are related. There's a genetic relationship between languages across the continent and the ancient language of ancient Kanit and Kemet, Nubia. You can take a Yoruba language dictionary or Isi Zulu language dictionary or a Chiluba dictionary or a Khan or whatever and compare them with a hieroglyphic dictionary and find the same words, same concepts, same names of deities and so forth. So if you do not know what specific group you come from at this particular time, then what we always recommend, which, of course, and then some also do, is we utilize the language, the mother language of ancient Kanit and Kemet, to engage that process. So we deal with the culture based on that language. So we will call on Amen and Amenet and Ra and Ra'at and the various divinities. The Aku and Akutu is the term for spiritually cultivated ancestresses and ancestors, the Ntoru and Ntorutu and so forth. So we would utilize that language to reconnect to our ancestral culture. When we begin that process and we establish an ancestral shrine and begin to communicate with our ancestresses and ancestors, then they will direct us as to what specific ethnic group from the continent that we come from, whether it's somewhere in West Africa, most of us, or Central, where we were, what group we were living as part of prior to enslavement. Last time you were living on Earth, when you were living in Afro-Africa, if you were living in Cameroon or something like that, or if you were living as an Ibibio in Nigeria, and then slavery occurred and you were snatched and taken to America or your descendants, and that happened in over hundreds of years, all kinds of mixture took place. However, you're the same Ibibio person. Now you're an ancestor. It's time for you to reincarnate through your descendants, and they're in America now, so you're born through one of your great-great-great-great-granddaughters. You're the same Ibibio spirit that used to live in the region of the Ibibio territory hundreds of years ago. Now you're back in the world. Now, on the outside, you're going to be a little bit lighter brown because of all of the violence that took place during enslavement, the rape and everything else. But you're the same Ibibio spirit. Your blood has been mixed, but your soul is not mixed. So you're the same Ibibio person. But you don't know that growing up in America because you've never been taught. But as soon as you set up that ancestral shrine, and communicate in the language of ancient Kemet, because that's the mother language. Ultimately, over time, your Ibibio ancestresses and ancestors will tell you you are Ibibio, and you will begin to start studying that language, study that culture, study those cultural expressions, and you'll be naturally drawn to that. And the way you approach life, actually, you will find out that the way you've been approaching life instinctively has been in alignment with that culture all along, certain ideas and inclinations you have and repulsions you have, you'll find that are in sync with that culture. But we start off, and we have that like a step-by-step process on the website. And you can send me an email, you know, if you want some more information. But we have a step-by-step process of dealing with that, a step-by-step approach dealing with that. So you can learn about the cosmology, learn about the culture, then begin the process of ritual communication, ancestral communication, and moving forward and going through that entire process, learning about names, you know, taking on an ancestral name, all these different issues. We have, you know, we have a process for that.
All right, that's wonderful. I'm going to take a look at the website, and I will be emailing you because I am very interested in pursuing that path. I've looked at various and been directed. I have a good idea that as you've indicated, I've had various visions over a period of time of my life, and I have a good idea about where my ancestral home would be and where I should take off in studying, but I will go through the process that you have already established because it sounds very interesting and very accurate in leading a person to where they need to be.
Okay, I appreciate it. No problem. Send me an email. And the key is, our culture, when we talk about ancestral religion, literally it's coming through your direct blood ancestors as an ancestor. So it is your inheritance. It's not like you have to go somewhere, pay a lot of money, and somebody can tell you who you are. Your people will tell you exactly who they are, and apparently they've already been showing you that. But this is coming from your people. And, of course, it's coming from you as well, because at some point you were living that culture. So it's encoded within your craw. That ancestral memory is within you. Your ancestresses and ancestors will just help to draw that out. So this is your ancestral religion, and this is just a process whereby you can reconnect with your own people, reconnect with the abosoma, the forces of nature that were assigned to you pre-incarnation that came into the world with you. So this is your inheritance. So our process is just, you know, enhancing that communication, that's all. So, yeah, just hit me up, and, you know, I'll send you that information, the direct links to the website and so forth.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Okay. No problem. That's up. Okay. And I see 5856. Michelle, you have a question or comment? Okay,
just listening right now. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, just listening. Me and the people up here in Connecticut are listening to your good information once again.
Okay. Yeah,
we appreciate you a lot, man. Keep it going.
Okay, I appreciate that support.
All right.
Okay. All right, and it looks like, let me see, there's one more. 8732, Michiawo, you're just listening. You have a question or comment?
I'm listening.
Okay. I want to check to make sure there's no, anybody had any questions in the chat. And also we want to make sure that we didn't miss anything with regard to the services and publications. We didn't go through every single publication that we have, but they're all listed on the website. We should mention, of course, the videos that we have, the videos that are associated typically with our publications. So many of the publications, we have about 48 videos, so most of them are based on publications that we have out, and of course we just go through them and dissect them and so forth. We have had some questions with regard to rites of passage programs, manhood training type programs, and this, one of the pieces we have is the Patah Satatim that worked in tandem with the Oberima Afurakani manhood piece. So the Patah Satatim, it was designed as a seven-stage program that can be done in 7 days, seven sessions, basically seven sessions, seven 40-minute sessions. And each session is dealing with a certain set of principal values. One is talking about our identity, the value of identity. So we talk about the origin of the term Afuraka, Afuraika, and so forth. One piece is talking about the value of physiology. So we talk about a seven-part definition of melanin, Abasum, and what that actually is. There's a piece that talks about decision-making process, a seven-stage decision-making process based on our ancestral culture, a sound decision-making process, our principles of responsibility, and a number of different things. So we have a seven-stage process. We have a two-hour and 20-minute training video. It's on the website with that. And then there's a PDF book, but then the Mate Matie book. The Patah Satatim book is associated with that. It's a manual, and we show in the video how to conduct those sessions. You can conduct them with youth as well as adults. You can conduct them in seven sessions of 40 minutes, 7 weeks in a row, or if you had 7 days in a row to work with youth or adults in different capacities. It's a way to introduce various aspects of traditional culture, ancestral culture, and values, and help them uncover their innately inherited ancestral values and show the connection between ancient Afurakani, Afurakaitini culture and wisdom and what we've actually experienced and how we've manifested that ourselves, and just give them more detail about that. Most people don't know about melanin and the various things that melanin does for us. They just think, you know, being black is just some people think it's inferior, of course, and some people think it's just a byproduct. We just happen to be that. They don't know it helps to clot blood and heal us and protect us and create scabs on our skin. They don't know that it photosynthesizes sunlight just like chlorophyll does in plants and energizes us and manufactures vitamin D in our skin and takes sound waves and transmits sound waves into energy the same way it takes sunlight and transmits sunlight into energy. It's a conductor of energy. It's an electromagnetic chemical. Melanin is in 12 centers of the brain and throughout our, you know, nervous system and major organs. So our organs are dependent on that black chemical, that electromagnetic chemical, to work properly. So it's a number of different things people don't know about melanin. They don't know about our identity. A number of different things. So we have a seven-stage process, the manual and the video that goes through that process so people can infuse that kind of culture in any setting. We use these sessions in Chicago for a number of years, where people were in high schools, elementary schools, in most economically depressed areas, were and at-risk people in programs where people had gotten kicked out of high school, they were in after programs, or they were had gone to prison and things like that. People who weren't supposed to be able to understand anything about culture and anything intelligent, but of course they were able to grasp these concepts immediately and retain that information even weeks later when, you know, you'll see somebody 1 week, you won't see them 3 weeks, for 3 weeks, and then the fourth week you come back and they remember what you told them 4 weeks prior, and you were only talking to them for about 20 minutes, and this was new information, but they were able to grasp it because there's a way to convey this information for our people to stimulate them, and they can grasp it, and they, believe it or not, even though they try to make us believe they hate everything about Africa and anything cultural, when you convey the information properly in a simple format, but an effective format, they are very interested, and it directly engages them. When you talk about what makes you black, that engages them right away because they've never heard about that. When you talk about the actual origin of the term Africa, what it actually means, they've never heard that before. So when you talk about decision-making process based on our culture, you talk about the true history of our people and what really happened. Talk about maroon societies and how we actually overthrew the whites and their offspring and freed ourselves from slavery and armed ourselves. These are things they've never heard, and they're automatically interested about in that because in their okra, they know these things are real and valuable. So Patasatatem deals with that, and that's like a precursor to the Oberima, Afurakani manhood. You can have Afurakani manhood book, but then we also do a workshop on that based on the book, and we would normally give away free copies of the book at the workshop. It can be taught in a workshop, but if somebody has a program with young men, young males, or older males who are, you know, maybe they have been arrested for possession of marijuana or something like that. 90%+ of people in prison, it has something to do with drugs, and it's not always distribution. Sometimes people are just addicted to drugs, and instead of going to, you know, court dealing and to a diversionary program for, you know, addiction and things like that, they just lock them up. So they're addicted to marijuana, they're addicted to some other drug, and they're in jail. So they come out, they have a probation officer, they have to go through some kind of program as part of, as a condition of their probation. And then sometimes people may be working with individuals like that, and you can incorporate the seven principal values of Oberima manhood, or the Patasatatem, the seven principal values in Patasatatem. When you're doing your regular work with those individuals, you can also include this. You see them once a week, you can do one principle a week or one section a week, one chapter per week until you get through the whole 7 weeks. So we go out and do those kind of workshops when people ask us to come out. But we also, you know, we have the training videos and the information. You can contact us about that as well. You can download the videos immediately. So that's that other service. We also have Aboa Nkwa, which is a physical way to tune yourself physically. Aboa Nkwa deals with the animal totem in Afurakani, Afuraikaitini culture. We identify and attune ourselves with ritual animal totems through different forms of stretching, strengthening, toning, and balancing. Again, when we talk about Ankh, the origin of the term yoga, certain kinds of movements that the whites and their offspring would see Afurakani, Afuraikaitini people engaged in when they were sitting in front of shrines in ancient Kemet, they would observe that, and then they would imitate those things, but be totally disconnected from the ancestresses and ancestors that we were communicating with when we sit in front of a shrine and pour libation at a shrine or in a temple and so forth. If they see us sitting in a certain fashion or shift positions in a certain fashion because a different ancestral spirit came forward, all the whites and the offspring would see is us sitting in a certain position and then sitting in a different position. So they began to imitate the positions they saw us sitting in and then created a discipline revolving around sitting in position and then tried to call it a culture and totally corrupted everything, and of course attach their false cosmology to that. So Aboa Nkwa is about connecting to our ancestral totem and engaging in a ritual process of stretching, toning, balancing, strengthening, and so forth. It's a ritual movement that has to do with health and spiritual alignment. So that's a process as well. At some point we will be having, we'll have a couple of videos on the website showing that process. At some point, we will have some, when we do presentations, we will have some presentations where we do that and show people those movements as well. So let's look back at the list right quick to see if we had anybody else on line. Let's see. Okay. All right, so we're going to end here. We're done with tonight's show. We just wanted to introduce our products, our services. Next week, we possibly will have one of the sister who is a naturopath. We're going to confirm that. We'll be talking about that. We'll be sending out updates. If you have any questions about any of our products and services, you can contact us via the website, ojirafo.com, O-D-W-I-R-A-F, as in free, O.com, O-D-W-I-R-A-F-O.com. You can access all of the publications. You can download all the publications, links to the videos, the audio, and as well as the soft cover publications on the Homa page. If you'd like to order, you know, the soft cover publications, you can order through that page. If you would like to be a distributor, which we call Nokwarefo, you can go to the Nhoma page, N-H-O-M-A, on the Ojirafo website. We have a video about a little orientation about that, and we have the Nokwarefo distributor information document on the same page, and you can order right away, and then you can study the information as you're waiting for your order to come in. You can study and go through the different publications. And it usually takes a few days for us to ship the order out. We ship priority, so 2 to 3 days or whatever. And in the meantime, you can be reviewing the materials that you ordered. So once you get the actual order and you're selling the information, you'll be knowledgeable about, of course, about what you're distributing to the community. And, of course, that's a benefit not only to yourself, to the people you're actually selling to. So we have had people, a couple of people engage the distribution process. We've had people make orders. Some people just will order all of the books. Like we had somebody in Sweden order all 7 books because they just wanted all the information. Somebody in France ordered all 7 books. Of course, people in the United States ordered them all because they just want to get that information, study it for themselves, and then share it with the community. Once people actually see the full color, soft cover text, it actually sells itself. You don't even have to talk much about it. Just once people see the color, see the vivid images from ancient Kemet, see pictures of the divinities and the, you know, kings and queen mothers and so forth, and Adinkra symbols and gold weights and things like that, they're interested already. And then when they see a book like Kukutuntum and talks about Jesus never existed and Muhammad never existed and goes into detail, they're very intrigued by that. When they see Marene Chi, divine law, divine love, and divine hate, they want to know what's in that book. What are we talking about? And just learning about Afuraka, Afuraka is the origin of the term Africa. These various things, when they see the soft cover version, it sells itself. So even when people are just trying to distribute that information, just share it with family members, coworkers, and so forth, or they want to purchase, you want to purchase books as birthday gifts for people, children as well as adults. These are inexpensive birthday gifts as well. People want to be distributors. Then, you know, the books, once people actually see them, they basically sell themselves. So just contact us about that. We're trying to get the information out in various parts of the country. There's a lot of misinformation out here. So on one hand, we have the free PDF books, but then some people just, they want to have something physical in their hands to hold and highlight and read when they're on the train or on the bus or at work or on break or wherever they're at, in a coffee shop, wherever we are, and they want to be able to show it to other people. So we're trying to get that information out around the country and wherever Afuraikani, Afuraikaini people are in the world. So just give us a call about that, send us an email, and we'll get that information out. So if nobody else has any questions, okay. Oh, Yeni Aseda, I saw a couple of people say Merase, which means thank you in Chui, and we say Yeni Aseda, which basically means you're welcome. Merase for checking out the broadcast. The archive will probably be up within a half an hour after the end of the broadcast, and then you can download it. You can also share it. You can also, you know, connect with us on our afuraka.ning.com social network, which is our own social network. The link to that is on ojirafo.com page as well. So, okay. So we'd like to say again, may I say, next week on Benada on Tuesday, we will have another episode of Ojira talking about purification, Afurakani, Afurakai being ancestral religion. And then on Awukuda, the next day, Wednesday, we have another episode of Egwa Marketplace, and we will be highlighting one of the businesses in the Afurakani, Afurakai being community. So again, Merase, Yerase, we thank you for listening to the show, and we will connect with you online. That's up.